I'd like to spend about 10 minutes and go over with you the Brandon Allison lead. Just a little history on Brandon. I found out about Kristen's disappearance about a year after it actually happened. I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina, and a local girl by the name of Kristen Mataferi from my hometown was on vacation in San Francisco in 1997, and she was abducted on June 23rd. And I originally went out to San Francisco to look for Kristen Mataferi. And it was Kristen Mataferi's mom, Debbie, who introduced me to Denise Smart. And that's how I got involved with Kristen Smart's case. So anyway, Kristen Smart disappeared in May of 96. I came on the scene around November of 1997. And it was in 2001 that I decided to see if I could talk to all the members of the Kappa Chi fraternity, because when Kristen went to the party that night at 135 Crandall Way, it was heavily populated, heavily attended by members of the Kappa Chi fraternity. So I thought, let me just try to talk to as many frat people as I can, and maybe I'll learn something. It was really a matter of just trying to ask 1,000 people 1,000 questions, and sooner or later something will shake free. So the Kappa Chi house is located at 845 Upham Street in San Luis Obispo. And I got on the phone and I asked to speak to the head guy there, the guy that was in charge of the fraternity. His name was Anthony. And I explained to him who I was, and he had heard about Kristen. And I asked him if I could come over and talk to him about Kristen and talk to some other frat guys. And he actually had a good piece of advice for me. He said, "Dennis, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, we have a mandatory meeting, and every single member of the fraternity has to be at this meeting. And so if you come over next Sunday night at 6:30, I'll let you address the entire fraternity." And I thought that was just fabulous. I said, "Absolutely. I'll be glad to do it." Now, during this time, I spent about 4 days in San Luis Obispo. And then 3 days, I'd get on Highway 101 up north to San Francisco, and I would do what I could do for the Mataferi family. And I remember looking at the list of names of the students that were at the party at Crandall Way. There was one person's name was Brandon Allison. And Brandon, remember, this is 5 years now after Kristen disappeared. He had relocated. He was living up in Salinas, California, which is right up the 101. So as I'm driving up 101, I see California Avenue exit. And I said, "Wow, that's the street that Brandon lives on." So I just pulled over. I took that exit. And all these years later, I still remember it was 710 California Street. His house was very, very simple to find. I remember going up there around, it was a Sunday evening, right around dinner time. And I knocked on a door and I got lucky. Brandon was home and he came out. And he says, "May I help you?" I said, "Hi, Brandon. My name is Dennis Mann. I'm a friend of the Smart family, Kristen Smart." And he goes, I remember he cut me off. He just played, he goes, "You're still looking for that girl?" Brandon just could not believe that somebody was on his doorstep 5 years later looking for a girl that still hadn't been found. I remember he wasn't being sarcastic or anything. He just couldn't believe somebody was on his doorstep looking for Kristen Smart. And he said, "Dennis, listen, when I graduated there 5 years ago, I left town. I never looked back. And I haven't been in touch with any of those people in 5 years, and I'm living a totally different life now." And at that point, I really didn't know what to say. So just to come up with something to keep the dialogue going, I said, "Brandon, let me tell you what I've heard and tell me if it matches what you know." And the only thing I've heard is that Kristen was found passed out on the lawn next door at 137 Crandall Way next to the party that night. And a student from the dorms by the name of Cheryl Anderson and her friend Tim Davis, they were the ones who got Kristen up on her feet and said, "Girl, we got to get you home." They didn't know Kristen personally, but they knew she lived in the dorms because they'd seen her around. So Kristen, Cheryl Anderson, and Tim Davis started walking back to the dorms. Now, for those of you who don't know, Crandall Way was, oh my God, it's a 5-minute walk at most off campus. It's right off campus. So you could easily walk back to the dorms. And just as they started walking, Paul Flores appeared out of nowhere. So it ended up being Kristen, Cheryl Anderson, Tim Davis, and Paul Flores. And as I'm telling Brandon this, he cuts me off. He goes, no, no, that's not right. That's not right. He said, Dennis, there was a whole bunch of kids walking home that evening. And as he was telling me this, he was squinting his eyes and he was trying to remember in his mind the names of the other students. But it was been, you know, 5 years ago at this time. He goes, you know, I don't remember everybody, but I know there was a bunch of us walking home that night. And so as he's telling me this, I'm processing this in the back of my mind saying, well, this is new. I haven't heard this before. But beyond that, he goes, Dennis, I don't know what else to tell you. And I said, okay, well, Brandon, thank you for talking to me. And I got lucky that night because I was actually at Brandon's father's house, and Brandon had just come over for Sunday dinner. So I got very lucky that he was there. So anyway, I get in my car, and I go up to San Francisco for the Mata Ferries. And then Monday or Tuesday of the next week, I return back to San Luis. And as soon as I get back into town, I get on the phone, and I call Anthony at the Kappa Chi just to confirm our Sunday date. But he didn't answer the phone, so I left a message, and he didn't return the phone call. So the next night, same thing. I called him, left a message, nothing. The next night, same thing. I'm thinking, why isn't Anthony returning my phone call? Now, you know, we're talking 15, 16 years ago, so I don't remember, but somehow I was able to find another number for Anthony at the fraternity, and I called the other number, and this time he answered. And I said, Anthony, this is Dennis Mann, the friend of the Christian. I was calling to confirm Sunday night. And Anthony, he wasn't rude, but he was kind of firm. He said, Dennis, we changed our mind, and we're not going to have you over Sunday night. I said, why? He says, well, we decided, we talked about it, and we're just not convinced that Paul Flores has anything to do with this, and we don't think it'd be very fair to him. So we just think it's better if we stay out of it, so we're not going to have you over Sunday night. And then he said something which was a bombshell to me. He said, and besides, Dennis, last Sunday night, Brandon Allison came and he met with the board of directors of our fraternity, and he gave his side of the story, and, you know, we just decided maybe we shouldn't get involved with this. So, sorry, but you can't come over. So with that, I had to say thank you, and I hung up, and I said, wow. So I say all of this because I want to make the following point. Remember when I arrived on Brandon's doorstep, he said to me, Dennis, I haven't been in touch with anybody from Cal Poly in 5 years. I graduated, I moved away, and I just didn't stay in touch with anybody. I'm sorry. Then I got Anthony telling me, no sooner did I say goodnight to Brandon, because that was a Sunday night, that Brandon got into his car, drove 2.5 hours south from Salinas down to San Luis Obispo, and met not only with the fraternity, he met with the board of directors of the fraternity. And this is after him telling me he had no contact with anybody from Cal Poly in 5 years. I drive away from his yard up in Salinas, and he gets in the car and drives straight down to San Luis. Now, what is that all about? Now, of course, I've given all this to the sheriff's department, and I don't blame them, but when you tell the sheriff stuff, it's all one-way street. You tell them everything you know, and they say, thank you very much. So there's no feedback. So I don't know if they did anything with this or not, but if you just look at the behavior, I just think that old saying, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Well, there's plenty of smoke here. So I want to thank you. I'm going to keep on doing these podcasts with different leads, and I just want people to at least get a perspective of aspects in Kristen's case that I know from being personally involved. Thanks so much.